Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God's on the throne and he's not nervous. You know that? And we're on the throne with him. The Bible tells us we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love that. Let me just read to you. I'm stuck and the whole church were going with me on the places I'm stuck in, being the authentic body of Christ. And I'm having every one of you, I encourage you, I'm doing it, reading every day, John 17 and Romans 12 and 13 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Now, let me just read to you, and this Passion Bible just came out last year. I just want to read to you what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 1. May God himself, the heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you, impart total well-being into your life. How many are going to receive it? Total well-being. Oh, I love that. Every spiritual blessing, everybody say, every spiritual blessing in heavenly realm has already been languished upon you as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. Get that picture, man. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself, even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes, with an unstained innocence, granted Holy Ghost. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love crescended over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. The reason I wanted to go there, that will go, okay, they'll see the floor for a moment here or two. The reason why I wanted to go and with Brother Tim is because I believe he's going to help us see that. So this time is just teaching. So get out your notebooks, and if you don't, I'll get you some paper and start taking notes. My dear brother, Timothy Groves, all the way from Maine.
Maine, the great state of Maine. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to kick off with an ordination service, and we're going to be ordaining Julian. And so I'm going to ask if he will come. I wanted to inform you, our ministry has been going on for 8 years now. And as full-time evangelists, we've been traveling for 8 years. And just before we started traveling as evangelists, the Lord had prophetically spoken to us that we would one day have a network and we would oversee churches and ministers. And I figured, okay, if that's God and the person who gave the word, I knew who they were, I knew they were reputable. So, okay, God, that's you, you'll just do it in your time, you know, because I don't believe we need to rush the will of God. If a prophetic word is spoken, I don't need to make it happen. So we just waited. And then when we got incorporated in 2014 and became a 501c3 incorporation organization with the state, we put in our constitution and bylaws that we would have a network and we would oversee churches and ministers. And then in 2017, January, February, and March, I was traveling down south with one of my guys that I mentor, and I got three different words from the Lord, those 3 different months, 3 different states. And the word was pretty much, God is birthing in you an apostolic hub, and you will establish a network and oversee ministers and oversee churches. And we're like, okay. So when we got back to Maine in April, went to another church, and the lady just called us to the front and gave the same prophetic word. And so we said, okay, God's doing something. And then that week we had four people approach us and say, we have been in prayer since you've been gone for the last 3 months, and it is the will of God for us to be ordained with you and your ministry. Of course, we had nothing put together, so we said, okay, we'll have to put together an application process. And so last April of 2017, we started ordaining people. We really have not advertised it a lot. It's really been word of mouth, but people started calling us, saying, God's speaking to me, I'm supposed to get ordained with you, and I don't even know that you do that. And I'm like, well, we just started it. So we are now up to, with Julian getting ordained today, we're up to 36. 36 ordained ministers and 6 churches that we oversee. And so we're excited. We call it Kingdom Builders Network. Kingdom Builders Network, partnering for kingdom advancement. And so we're just really excited about what God is doing. So I'm honored to be standing here today about to do what I'm about to do. I've had the great honor of knowing Julian for several months now. He was introduced to me through our friend Frank Fox. I got to know him, and I sensed a call of God upon his life, and I've really enjoyed getting to know this young man. He's also one of the young men that I mentor, and now I have the opportunity to bring him into the Kingdom Network, Builders Network family. So I want to share with you what Paul told Timothy, who was a young apostle in the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:12. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So, Julian, you may be young and you may be single, and some people may even question your ability to be a minister, but I challenge those people with the word of God, because God called Samuel when he was just a little boy. David was just a young man when God called and anointed him as king. Jesus was 12 when he was teaching in the temple. So don't let anyone look down upon you for your youth, but embrace it and know that God has placed around you people who are older and wiser to help aid and assist you in your ministry. Not to squelch your fire, not to rain on your parade, but to offer guidance with your zeal, wisdom with your passion, and insight with your fresh ideas. So embrace like a father the older ones that God is putting in your life, because we're here to help thrust you further than we would ever go. So today I declare to you, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Don't get caught up in preaching man's opinions. Don't get caught up in the latest trends or the hottest books on the bestsellers list. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out, because you never know when you may be called to share the word with people one-on-one or even in a group setting. So keep your spirit man filled up, and always be ready to minister, because you carry inside of you the greatest message that the world has ever known, and that is the message of Jesus Christ. And I know that you understand the gravity and the seriousness of a soul that does not know God. And just like the other ministers in this room, you feel the weight of fulfilling your purpose in making Christ known to as many people as possible in the time that we have left. So whatever specific thing that God calls you to, do it with all your heart. Don't look at your ability. Don't look at your inability. Just provide God with your availability. Amen. He is looking not for gold vessels or silver vessels. He is looking for yielded vessels. And you have yielded yourself to Him. You've made yourself available to Him so that we can get to witness what God is going to do in and through you in the ministry that He's granting you. So it gives me great pleasure to ordain you into ministry and to welcome you into the Kingdom Builders Network. And I'm going to have Pastor Phil come. I want to have him lay hands upon you as well. The certificate of ordination, we the undersigned, having had full and sufficient opportunity for judging God-given gifts, and after satisfactory examination by us in regard to Christian experience, called to the ministry, and views of Bible doctrine, hereby certify that Julian Zamudio Jr. was solemnly set apart and ordained to the work of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the 14th day of July 2018 by the authority and order of Kingdom Builders Network, a division of Time to Move Ministries at Namain. Him. Father, we count it a great privilege and a great honor to be able to ordain into ministry this man who has such a powerful testimony. Lord, the areas of darkness that he walked in to the degree that he walked in those areas, even greater the degree he will walk in areas of light. And so, Lord, we thank you that you saw him and you brought him out of darkness into your glorious light. And God, you have not finished working on him. You're still molding him and making him. And as we lay our hands upon him, we know that greater hands are laid upon him as well. We cannot call anybody into ministry, but we can confirm that you have called him. And so we put our amen to it. And we say, Lord, let your blessing rest upon him. Let your anointing rest upon him. Let there be a fresh fire, a fresh wind, fresh oil, fresh manna that flows in and through his life. So that, Father, even 6 months from now, a year from now, we will hear great stories and great testimonies of what you're doing in and through him. So we give you the praise and we give you the glory for it. And we thank you, Father, for this man. We ordain him now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you,
Lord. Just have a word for you. As arrows in the hand of the mighty, so I have you in my hand, saith the Lord. And I have been sharpening you down through the years, and I have seen that you have been faithful to the call that I have placed upon your life. And from this day forward, you are going forth as an arrow to fulfill the plan and the purpose that I have ordained before the foundation of the world for you to walk in now. And you're going to sharpen others because of what you have allowed me to sharpen you, saith the Lord. And we are anointing you today by the power of the Holy Ghost to fulfill the call that God has placed upon your life. In Jesus' name.
I saw, brother, there was two large gates, and they were closing behind you, and you're going this way. Everything is in the past, behind those closed gates. And so when the enemy says, well, yes, but what are your emotions? How are you feeling? You say, the gates are closed. What I felt before, what I was involved with before, Jesus is before me. Those gates are closed. You are that new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. No matter how you feel, because the devil will just toy with your emotions. Okay? But Jesus is real. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he is victorious over life and death. So you be encouraged, my brother. Be much encouraged. And when the enemy comes at you, or your feelings don't quite line up with what you know your faith is in the Lord Jesus, the faith in the Lord Jesus is going to sustain you. His grace is going to be with you. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. It will be your strength, brother. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen. God is good. Amen. So I want to continue today with the word that I started last night. God gave me this word as an admonishment, but it may sound like a rebuke, but that's okay, because the word of God is good for rebuking. Amen. I don't think some people may get offended at today's message, but that's okay. I think that we Christians don't get offended enough. Let me explain that. I'm offended that a lot of Christians, especially Pentecostal Christians, don't get upset and mad at the devil when he attacks. That offends me. I'm offended that the enemy has lulled most of the American church to sleep and has caused us to sleep upon the lap of twin sisters called comfort and ease. I'm telling you, folks, the church in America is broken. It is sick and it needs a healing. It's actually on life support and it needs a revival. And because we the believers are the church, this tells me that a lot of God's people are broken, spiritually immature, and spiritually sick. And for too long we have chosen to hide our heads in the sand, stay inside our stained glass safe places, and reminisce about the good old days. But folks, we are so far gone that we cannot afford another day of doing nothing. We're almost to the point of no return. So I'm going to not repeat all the stats that I gave yesterday, but I do want to give you just a couple of them as a refresher. The most unreached place on the planet with the gospel of Jesus Christ is right here in America. 10,000 churches close their doors forever, every year in America. Amen? The national conversion rate in America is every church in America wins one soul once a year. Now, I know we like to boast and brag and beat our chest about how awesome we are, but folks, we really are failing. When we look at the cold, hard facts, there is no other conclusion that we can come to except the church is broken. And so how do we turn this around? We turn it around by advancing the kingdom of God. We do not retreat into defeat. We have been called to advance the kingdom. And the Lord spoke to me seven things that we absolutely need to focus on if we're going to advance the kingdom of God. It's going to take intentional effort to make this happen. Amen? Because these seven things aren't going to just happen naturally. We must be determined, focused, and intentional on these seven things so that the kingdom of God can advance. And last night we looked at the first three. The first one is we have to have an authentic passion. An authentic passion. We've got a lot of passion in the church today, but not a lot of passion for Jesus. We see a lot of put on, a lot of fake, a lot of phony, a lot of hypocrisy, but we don't see a real, genuine passion for Jesus. So we've got to have an authentic passion in our churches once again, because when the world looks at the church, a lot of times all they see are rituals, traditions, rules, and legalism, but they need to see passion, authentic passion. The second thing we looked at last night was aggressive pursuit. Aggressive pursuit. We're not called to stroll lazily throughout our Christian life, just meandering around. No, we are called to pursue after God and pursue the things of God. Amen? We don't have time to lollygag around anymore. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we've got to lay aside our own selfish agendas, and we've got to get an authentic passion and an aggressive pursuit. And then last night, we finished with the last one, and that was agreeable people. We've got to have agreeable people. We can have unity without uniformity. We can all be unique, and we can all be different, yet we can all still work together to accomplish the job. Amen? We can keep our identity and yet still walk in unity. Amen? And we've got a lot of Christians today that are just disagreeable people. Yeah. We got to get off of our high horse judging everybody as if we're the only Christian that's doing anything for God. Got to stop being critical of every minister on television. Stop being mouthy and slanderous about other saints of God. Stop being disagreeable about everything as if your opinion is the only right one. And we don't just have a lot of disagreeable Christians. We got a lot of disagreeable ministers. They just don't like to get along. They don't like to work together. They view one another as competition rather than as a completion. Listen, we're all called to work together. Amen? This church does not compete with another church. We're not in this thing for competition. We're all in one team, and we need to make scores as a team. Amen? It's like a football team. You know, the quarterback may have the greatest arm the world's ever seen, but if he doesn't have a team down there on the other end to catch that ball, he's not going to make the touchdown. So we've got to work together. Amen? Remember what Mama taught us. Play well with others. Play well with others. So let's continue and look at the final four things that we need to focus on to advance God's kingdom. Number four is we've got to have accountability partners. We've got to have accountability partners. Paul said in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses one to another. These verses are speaking about having somebody in your life that you can be accountable to. And I know in our society, we encourage a lot of independence. But what God wants us to have is interdependence. Come on, we all need somebody that can partner with us, somebody who's got our back, somebody who is in our corner. You know, in Maine, we have our tallest mountain is Mount Katahdin. In New Hampshire, the tallest mountain is Mount Washington. These are mountains that stand by themselves. It's just one mountain. That's it. One mountain. It's not a range of mountains. It's one mountain. If you look, mountains that stand by themselves, usually at a certain point, the growth stops. Trees do not grow all the way up in the top. They're usually covered with ice and snow. There's not a lot of growth up there. And that single mountain will get pummeled by the weather. But if you'll put a bunch of those mountains together so that they form a mountain range, now they're usually green all over. There's growth all the way up to the top, and a mountain range can actually cause the weather patterns to change. Isn't that interesting? So God is not calling us to be by ourselves, get pummeled by the enemy by ourselves where there's not a lot of growth. He's calling us to link arms and join together. Amen? And as Christians, we all need to be connected somehow to a local church or a parachurch ministry for accountability and covering. And as ministers, we've got to be submitted to somebody over us. We have some ministers out there that do this, well, I'm submitted to God and no man. I say, run, Forrest, run. We are all called to be submitted to somebody. Amen? We're all called to be under someone's authority for accountability. Listen, if not, the devil's going to pick us off one by one. Folks, we are stronger together. Amen? Don't fall into the trap of the enemy that you're all that in a bag of chips. Because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Amen? I really don't care who you are. If you're saved and in the kingdom of God, you are called to be under someone's accountability, someone's authority. I'm ordained with 3 different groups, and I am submitted to my coverings. I've got spiritual fathers in my life that have permission to speak into my life and to correct me if I need it. And folks, there's times when I need it. We all do, amen? So we've got to have authentic passion. We've got to have aggressive pursuit. We've got to have agreeable people. We've got to have accountability partners. 5, we got to have anointed preachers. We got to have anointed preachers. Isaiah 10:27. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Paul asked the question in Romans 10:14. How shall they hear without a preacher? Listen, we don't just need preachers. We need anointed preachers. Because the world is full of preachers. They are a dime a dozen. And a lot of churches in America have a preacher behind the pulpit, but he or she is not anointed. They're ministering out of their own spirit, ministering out of their own intellect, but they're not ministering out from underneath the anointing of God. So hear me when I tell you this. It is the anointing that makes the difference. Folks, without the anointing, we're just dry bones. We're just dry, dead husks without the anointing. So we've got to have preachers who understand the value of the anointing and are willing to have the anointing flow in their life so it will set the captives free. Listen, people that are in sin and bondage, when they come to church, they need more than a pep talk. They need more than Christian counseling and psychology. They need more than a 12-step program. They need more than loud music and strobe lights. They need an encounter with the anointing of God that will set them free. Amen? So my God, give us some preachers who realize it's not our gifts, it's not our talents, it's not our looks, it's not our skills that touches the life. It is the anointing of God that draws people and sets them free. So we got to spend more time learning how to flow in that anointing and minister out of that anointing rather than relying on man-made ideas, because it's the anointing that makes the difference. Let me move on. 6. Arresting principalities. Arresting principalities. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we've got to arrest principalities. You know what Ephesians 6:12 says? That we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Folks, our battle is not with a political party. Our battle is not with the LGBTQ community. Our battle is not with Planned Parenthood. These groups may be influenced by the enemy, but they are not the enemy. Our enemy are the forces of darkness that are at work in the world. And that may sound scary, but let me tell you what Jesus said in Colossians 2:15. It tells us that Jesus disarmed. Everybody say disarmed. He disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Woo! So folks, I don't have to fear the forces of hell. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? It's time for the church to stop being the footstool of the devil and we start to rise up in the authority that we have been given through Jesus Christ, and we arrest enemy forces. Amen? Let me ask you this question. Why are not the majority of our Spirit-filled churches today not having more times of warfare prayer? Or warfare worship? Folks, if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we've got to start arresting principalities. I'm all for socializing. I'm all for food, fun, and fellowship. But I think in a lot of our churches, we have lost the art of praying through to victory. We've lost the ability to tear down strongholds through prayer. We've lost the ability to bind forces of the enemy over regions and territories. And folks, things have to change. Things have to change. It's time that we get back into binding and loosing. It's time that we get back into pleading the blood and applying the blood. Amen? It's time that we get back to fighting the real spiritual battle, and that's on our knees. Because we are not going to truly affect the world for Jesus through social media or through political means or through signed petitions or through new laws. We're going to affect lasting change when we, the people of God, begin to arrest principalities and powers that are at work in our communities and, yes, even at work in our churches. It's time that we get back to fighting our battles the way Jesus intended, through fasting and prayer and taking authority over the enemy and arresting the enemy in his tracks. Last one, number 7, activating power. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we've got to activate power. Mark 6:7, Jesus gave his disciples power over unclean spirits. Luke 9:1, Jesus gave his disciples power and authority over demons and to cure all diseases. You know, Acts 1:8, Jesus declared that we shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us and we shall be his witnesses. I'm telling you, friends, it's time that we activate the power that has already been given to us. Amen? Listen, it's time that we start to demonstrate the power of God. We got a lot of churches that preach the gospel, but they can't demonstrate the gospel. We're supposed to go forth and not only preach the gospel of the kingdom, we're supposed to demonstrate. Amen? Some of us, we haven't really been witnesses for Jesus because we haven't really seen anything yet. Right? I mean, a witness has seen something. What have we seen? A lot of times what we've seen is formalism, hypocrisy, emotionalism, dead programs, worn out cliches, broken dreams. Folks, that's not what we've been called to witness to. We have been called to preach the gospel. We have been called to pray for people. And we have been called to demonstrate the power of God. Because a lot of our churches, we sing about the power and we preach about the power. We just can't demonstrate it. Right? Especially if we're going to call ourselves a Pentecostal church, I really think it's time that we put up or shut up. Yeah. We got to stop making excuses for why our churches are powerless. Stop making excuses for why our pulpits are powerless. We got to stop blaming everybody else and start to activate the power that He has already given to us. Amen? And let me just say it because it needs to be said, but if Peter, James, John, and Paul would come into most of our Pentecostal churches today, they would be ashamed that we even call ourselves Pentecostal. Just because you shout, snort, stomp, and sweat does not make you Pentecostal. Just because you sing fast songs, clap your hands, and bang a tambourine on different parts of your body does not make you Pentecostal. Come on, we've got so-called Pentecostal churches today that are going month after month after month and year after year after year with no new soul saved, nobody discipled, no one water baptized, no one filled with the Spirit, no gifts of the Spirit in operation. Did you hear me? And yet we are going to walk around acting all arrogant, thanking God that we're not dead like them Baptists or dead like those Methodists, but that we're full gospel. Jesus had a message for us. He said, you've got a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Woo! You got a name that you're alive. Come on, when you say Pentecost, that's a name that usually means life. It's going to be vibrant. It's going to be exciting. You got a name that you're alive, but you're really dead. Folks, I know we don't like to be told we're wrong. I know we don't like to be rebuked. I know we like to act like everything is peachy keen and hunky-dory. But folks, the condition of the American Pentecostal Church today is like that of the Titanic. We have become proud of our heritage and our history. And we have acted like just because we can speak in tongues, fall over, shake and shimmy, that we're better than every other Christian out there. Folks, we're not better. We may be different, but we're not better. Amen? If we believe that, we're blind and we are blinded and self-deceived. What most Pentecostal churches in America are doing today is they're simply rearranging the deck chairs of the Titanic. I mean, really, folks, who cares? The ship is sinking, and we're concerned about which pew is ours. The ship is sinking, and we're concerned about whether we're going to sing a hymn or we're going to sing a chorus. The house is on fire and burning to the ground, and we're concerned about what Sister Bucketmouth said about us last week. We are wrapped up in our comfort to where we have forgotten the Great Commission. We're so focused on having our nose in other people's business that we're not about the Father's business. Folks, we've made the church to be about me, myself, and I, and it's not. It's about Him. It's about His desires. And here's a newsflash, folks. It's not our church. It's His church. And He said He would build His church the way He wants. So how about we stop trying to control everything and everyone in the church, and we just submit to the will and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Church, I don't want to have a name that I'm alive and be really dead. I don't want to have just the proclamation of the gospel. I want to have the demonstration of the gospel. Amen? I'm telling you, folks, signs and wonders and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles should be a weekly, if not daily, occurrence in the life of Christians. Let me say that again. Signs, wonders, and miracles should be a weekly, if not daily, occurrence in the lives of Christians. Amen? Listen, God's had me on this journey since last July. It was near the end of the month. I was on a 40-day road trip, traveling down to Florida and back up again. I had Adam Clark with me and another kid that I mentor, and the three of us, we were on the road traveling. And the Lord began to speak to me and deal with me. Now, we've seen God do tremendous things in this ministry over the last 8 years. We've seen a lot of people get healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, get saved. So it's not like we haven't seen anything. We've seen stuff. But God began to deal with me and deal with me about that scripture that says signs and wonders would follow the preaching of the word to confirm it. And God began to speak to me while I was down in Florida late July last year. He said, Tim, if you are preaching the word, give me opportunity to confirm it. I said, okay. He said, begin to call people forth that are in pain, people that are sick, people that are diseased. Begin to lay hands upon them. Command healing to come forth. I said, okay. And then my question to God was, but God, what if they don't get healed? God said to me, Tim, if you were the healer, you should probably be concerned. But since you're not the healer, you don't have to worry about it. You just do what I tell you, and that's lay hands upon the sick. Amen? So since last July, late July, we just started pretty much every service. We just started having an opportunity for people that are sick or diseased or having a pain level to come forward, and we lay hands on them. And I'm telling you, Pastor, pretty much every service for almost an entire year, we have seen people healed. We've seen people healed. It's been phenomenal what God has been doing. We were at a church in Somersworth, New Hampshire, and this was new for me. I'd never had this happen before. But there were two women in the church that their one leg was shorter than the other. And I had them sit right on the front pew, had them grab their feet and lifted their legs and put their feet up, and sure enough, it was just a half an inch to an inch shorter than the other. And I've seen old videos of A.A. Allen and different ones where the leg grew out. And so I thought, I am not taking my eyes off these legs. I am going to watch. And I began to take those legs and I began to pray and command the leg to grow out And literally in front of my eyes, that thing just matched up to the other one perfectly fine. I never had that happen to me before. That was pretty cool. You know, there was this 8-year-old girl in Harrington, Maine, who had brain cancer seeping into bones. And we prayed for her. And 2 weeks later, the CAT scan came back completely cancer-free. So we've been seeing God do just tremendous things. And it's really cool because, Pastor, we think sometimes that we limit the power of God. And we think sometimes we have to, you know, actually pray out loud. Well, I have a friend, John Harrison. He's a Facebook friend of mine, and he goes to a church in Seabrook, New Hampshire. And he has been following me on Facebook about all these healings. And he texted me, and he said, "Tim, would you pray for me?" He said, "I have severe pain in my knees. I can never sleep through the night. I am always awake a couple different times in the night because of the pain in my knees. I have to wear knee braces. Will you pray for me?" All coming through a text. Now, Pastor, as God is my witness, I did not open my mouth and utter a word. I just texted back. I said, "I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that healing is coming into your knees. You will sleep through the night tonight. You'll not wake up because of pain. Complete and total healing coming into your body." Just through a text. He texted back. He said, "I feel a tingling in my knees." So the next morning he texted me. He said, "I slept through the whole night. I did not get up once." He said, "I thought I'm going to go to work today and I'm not going to wear my knee braces." A month after, he texted me again. He said, "I've been walking 5 miles a day, no knee braces, and I sleep all the way through the night, completely healed." And listen, that was all through a text. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got more power than we realize. I mean, we've got the power of the blood. We've got the power of the Spirit. We've got the power of the tongue. We've got the power of faith, the power of joy, the power of love, the power of grace, the power of teamwork. We have power. The gospel never lacks power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? We just don't always know how to tap into it. So I challenge us today, stop making excuses for not walking in the power and start to activate the power. Listen, the early church had no modern day technology. They had no printing press. They had no New Testament, but they knew about the power that was activated in their life, and that same power that was given to them has been given to us. Amen? So I'm throwing out the challenge today, and I'm drawing the proverbial line in the sand, and I'm saying we all have a choice. We can keep spinning our wheels, going nowhere. Because when you keep doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. Or we can advance the kingdom of God by having authentic passion, aggressive pursuit, being agreeable people, having accountability partners, having anointed preachers, arresting principalities, and activating power. Folks, it's all up to us. God has done for us everything that He's going to do. Come on, He's provided for us everything that we need. We have to step out of our comfort zone and stop making excuses and start doing some serious introspection. It's not too late. The harvest is white and the harvest is ready. God's house is full, but His fields are empty. So we've got to get in alignment with our kingdom assignment, because we're all called to expand and advance the kingdom of God. Amen? So how I want to end today is I want to have a time of impartation and activation. And I'm going to have Julian, since he's now a Rev, and I'm going to have Pastor Mel, and just come on up. We're going to take time to lay hands upon people. And maybe what we'll do is we'll just do it this way. Does he want to join us? Okay. I think what we'll do is we'll just form a little tunnel here. That'd be all right. I'll have you come down here so your dad can get right here in the wheelchair. And we're just going to have you all just come through this little tunnel. And we want to lay hands upon you. And we want to believe God for an impartation and an activation. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's stand to our feet. Come on up here, brother. Awesome. Amen. So we're just going to have you just kind of walk through kind of slow, and we just want to lay our hands upon you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are asking for an impartation and an activation. God, you have called us. You have called us to expand and advance the kingdom. So, Lord, right now we release that. Right now we release that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, next one. Next one. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, an impartation and an activation. God, we're here to advance the kingdom. Not our will, not our desire, but it's all about you. So, Lord, stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts. Stir up the fire. Fan it into flame, God. Fan it into flame in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we impart. We impart and we activate right now. We call forth those gifts. We call forth the anointing. In the name of Jesus, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And so, Father, let her have a freedom under the anointing, a freedom, God, to minister and to touch other lives as she advances the kingdom of God in her little world, neighborhoods, workplace, everywhere that she goes. That's her world. Lord, release her to be able to walk and flow under the power of the anointing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we call forth activation and impartation right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you're taking him to higher levels. You're taking him to higher levels in Jesus' name. Lord, no more mundane, no more dry, no more dead, no more stale, but God, fresh, fresh, fresh fire, fresh wind, fresh oil, fresh manna. In the name of Jesus, activate, God. Activate right now in Jesus' name. We call it forth. We call it forth right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we release into our brother an impartation of the Holy Ghost, an activation of the Holy Ghost. God, that he'll never be the same. He'll never be the same. Lord, that you'll begin to call forth gifts that have been hidden and have been tucked away. God, bring them to the forefront now in the name of Jesus. Loose, God. Loose a fresh vision in his life, God. Let him have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your touch. And God, we right now impart and activate into my brother the gifts and the callings of God. Lord, I thank you that there's nothing difficult for you. There's nothing impossible for you. So Lord, come on the scene and move mightily in the name of Jesus. Stir him up, God, and fan into flame those things, God, that might be near death and near dying. God, stir it up and activate it once again so that he can fulfill his purpose and his desires and his destiny in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, impartation and activation. Impartation and activation, God. Lord, bring it forth. Call it forth, God. Things that have been lying dormant and hidden, call it forth, God. Lord, it ain't over till you say it's over. It ain't over till you say it's over, God. So we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that it will put the final period to it when you're ready. Until then, God, we're going to just keep doing what you called us to do. So, God, I thank you for that fresh oil. I thank you for that fresh anointing, God. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, God. We impart and activate right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we loose the Holy Ghost. We loose the Holy Ghost. A fresh dose of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we're not going to be dry, we're not going to be mundane, we're not going to be stale. But God, we're going to have a fresh encounter with God, a power encounter that no man can duplicate or give. But God, it's all by you. So we activate and we impart right now. We activate and we impart right now a freshness. a freshness of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You will never change your mind for calling Him. You'll never change your mind for the gifts that you've given to Him. So, Lord, you'll never change your mind about what destiny He has in you. So, Lord, we activate, we impart and activate right now a touch of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that He stay in alignment with His assignment. God, that He not get off to the left or to the right, but He stay in step with the Spirit. Let Him stay in cadence with the Holy Ghost. And God, we're giving you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your touch. We thank you for your touch, God. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts and the callings of God. We thank you for impartation, God. We impart into him right now strength. We impart to him right now life. We impart to him right now health. In the name of Jesus. God, he will not be deterred. He will not be slowed down in Jesus' name. But he will go forth in power and victory. We thank you for that activation right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we impart and we activate Michaela right now in Jesus' name. All that you have put in her heart to do, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing it forth. You're making the way plain. You're making the way clear in the name of Jesus. Fan into flame, God. Fan into flame the fire of God that's inside of her. Lord, that she continue to go forth in victory. Continue to move in the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, we just release, God. We release into Megan. We release and impart into her, God. Fresh fire and fresh wind in Jesus' name. Lord, we activate her right now. We thank you, God, that you've called her and anointed her and appointed her for great things. So, God, we call it forth in Jesus' name. Let her not be discouraged or distracted by other things, but, God, let her keep her eyes on you so that you might direct her steps. God, we thank you for what you're doing in her life. We thank you for that impartation and that activation right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Activate and impart, God. We impart and activate, Lord, a new and fresh touch and anointing of God. Lord, I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. When we're young or when we're older, we're not forsaken by you. So, God, I thank you for the touch of God. I thank you for the anointing of God. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing that's resting upon him. And, Lord, we're just asking for a fresh vision, for a fresh anointing, that Lord, even in the latter years, there's revelation that comes forth that he didn't even receive when he was younger. But God, you're going to impart new things, new things. I thank you, God, that he's a new wineskin, able to receive the new wine. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done and is doing in the land today. And so praise the Lord for that too. I was thinking as I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah. I just, if you could get the offering bag, or Larry, or whoever wants to there. We want to give you an offering, but I just give you opportunity to bless the Lord this morning. It's a new day, and we want to bless our brother and his family as he continues to go on. I just want to leave this with you here. Psalm 75, God, our hearts spill over with praise to you. we overflow with thanks, for your name is the near one, and all we want to talk about is your wonderful works. There you go, you know, wonderful works that he is, that's Psalms 75. And we hear your reply. And he goes on to tell us this here, and he says, he feels, right here. I will proclaim the victory of the God of Jacob, the last part of that chapter. My melodies of praise will make him known. My praise will break the powers of the wickedness. Let's just thank him right now. Our praise will break the powers of the wicked one. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. We lift you up as the one and that is over all. While the righteous will be promoted and become powerful, powerful, powerful. The righteous will be promoted and become powerful. That's Psalms 75, verses 9 and 10 that I wanted to leave with you. Father, I thank you for sealing this word in our hearts here this morning, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, that this whole church is going to be activated to go forth, and we're going to have signs and wonders following the ministry of our lives today, 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 signs and wonders. Tomorrow, when we gather together, Lord God, we thank you that you're going to be exalted and lifted up in Jesus' name. I give you the praise and I give you the glory. Amen and amen and amen. So we want you to give a good offering here. We want to send them on the way. Here, I want to make sure you get this check in here too. And I am blessed to be able to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. And Julian, you are a blessing to us and to this ministry. Just to be here now. Whatever went on last night with his testimony, it's up on our website. So you can go to gracechapelcares.org and you can hear his testimony and hear what our brother ministered to us last evening. And then this will be up probably tomorrow or Monday also. And so what you can do is just to go to our website and share that on Facebook and it will get out there. And so thank you. Thank you so much, really, for being in your beautiful girls, too, with you. And we just pronounce the blessing of the Lord upon you. And we say favor, 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 and results of God's word to be just following you and going before you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And God richly bless you is our desire here this morning. Now, I want you all to have the best afternoon you ever had. Remember, nobody will have it for you. You might as well. And realize that you were activated here this morning in Jesus' name. And God richly bless you. Let's stand together. And I just want to give one more shout here, because to honor our founding father here, Luke Weaver, he would always say, glory. So on three, let's all shout glory. One, two, three. Glory! Amen. God bless you. Go in the name of